JLO News, I'm Donald Roberge. New research has found that opioids are the cause of 1 in 4 deaths among young adults in Canada. The study, which was published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal, says that premature deaths due to opioid overdoses doubled across the country between 2019 and 2021, and that they were responsible for a quarter of young adults between the ages of 20 and 39 at the time. The findings also revealed that the highest number of deaths were in the provinces of Manitoba and Saskatchewan, with the researchers theorizing that the numbers rose as a result of an especially dangerous drug supply, as well as reduced treatment and harm reduction services due to the pandemic. The researchers also called on all levels of government to increase their services and awareness, including the creation of more safe consumption sites. According to Canada's Public Health Agency, more than 40,000 Canadians have died due to drug toxicity over the last 8 years. The Quebec government has announced that it will be improving access to mental health care services in downtown Montreal. Speaking at Notre-Dame Hospital, the minister responsible for social services, Lionel Carman, said that the measures would reduce admissions to hospitalizations for those who need specialized mental health support. Carman said that the initiative would comprise a brief psychiatric intervention unit as well as psychiatric hospitalization at home. It will also include a community support team in order to promote home care. The measures are part of a $1 billion mental health action plan put forward by the Quebec government 2 years ago that will carry through to 2026. Montreal Mayor Valerie Plante has announced the city's car-sharing service, Gaminoto, will be expanding and will include an additional 1,100 vehicles in their fleet by the end of the year. Saying that each of the self-service cars replaces 7 to 11 purchased vehicles, Plante emphasized that it was possible to get by with a young family in the city without having to own a car, and that she had been a Gaminoto user herself for 25 years. The president of the company, Benoit Robert, added that 14% of Montreal households used the service last year, for a total of 95 million kilometers, and that Gaminoto would be expanding to Lachine, Montreal's 17th borough, to benefit from the service. For more, visit CJLO 1690 AM podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
We've just reached 2 o'clock. We can hear alternating alarm whistles and check calls of the red-winged blackbird.
She's the only one that I've been dreaming of. Maybe someday she will be all mine. I wanna tell her that I love her so. I threw with her every touch. I need to tell her she's the only one I really love. I've got a warm ball all day. I've got a woman, she won't be true. I don't wanna stay drunk all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tommy John Show here on CGLO 1690 AM. I am your host, Tommy Lane, and welcome. So if you don't know, the Tommy John Show is a sports show that we put together a few years ago, and it is talks everything going on in the world of sports. So I cannot wait to get into today's episode. Like I've mentioned previously, if you haven't listened before, every Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CGLO 1690 a.m. And we got a loaded show for you guys today. The Stanley Cup playoffs have started. We will get into that. The NBA playoffs have started. We will get into that. The NFL draft is 3 days away, Thursday at 8 o'clock. The Chicago Bears will officially be on the clock with the first overall pick. That will happen Thursday, and Major League Baseball in full swing, not to mention a huge calendar coming up in the tennis and golf season. F1, it is go time if you're a sports fan. The spring, one of the underrated times of the year for sports. People mention the fall because you have the U.S. Open and the NFL starting and hockey and basketball starting. People love it. But it's hard to beat this time of the year. You have the draft. You have baseball. You have the playoffs for the NHL and the NBA, which is unbelievable so far. We'll get into all that over the next hour here on the Tommy John Show. Just remember, every Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at the Tommy John Show. And yeah, let's get into, like what we always do, a brief little recap of the past week. Like I mentioned, the Stanley Cup playoffs are in full swing, and man, did they not disappoint. Why don't we start off with the games that happened earlier in the weekend? The New York Islanders played unbelievable hockey to get into the postseason, and their reward was meeting the Carolina Hurricanes, who are one of the best teams in the NHL, and it did not go the Islanders' way. They fall 3-1 to the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina leads that series 1-0. In maybe the most hyped-up series of the first round, two original six teams, the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. If you live in Montreal, it's a lose-lose scenario. One team advances, but then the other team loses, which is good for you guys. 5-1, the Bruins pound the Toronto Maple Leafs. A brilliant game from Jeremy Swayman. 35 saves on 36 shots. Big game from Jake DeBrus. 2 goals and an assist. 2 assists for Brad Marchand and Charlie McAvoy. Beecher and Carlo with the other goals in that one, along with Trent Frederick. The Bruins and Leafs game 2 tonight on ESPN and CBC. So if you just want to watch some hockey tonight, game 2 in Boston live tonight at 7 o'clock. The Florida Panthers in the Battle of Florida take down the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2. The New York Rangers 4-1 over the Washington Capitals. And maybe the wildest game of the first round, the Winnipeg Jets hold off the Colorado Avalanche 7-6. 7-6. Alexander Georgiev, the goalie for the Colorado Avalanche, allowed 7 goals on 23 shots. A 6.96 save percentage. Just terrible. Absolutely terrible. You outshoot a team 46-23 and you lose 7-6. Man, I can imagine what it's like in Denver, Colorado this morning after that game last night. We'll get more into that in the next hour. And in the last game of the weekend, the Vancouver Canucks, 4-2. They scored 2 goals in 12 seconds in the third period. Add an empty netter, 4-2 over the Nashville Predators. They take game 1. The only series we are missing start tonight. The Vegas Golden Knights, Dallas Stars, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, followed by the LA Kings and the Edmonton Oilers, 10 p.m. live from Edmonton. That's going to be amazing. What a series that's going to be. It's the third year in a row these teams meet up. Edmonton winning the previous two, first year in 7 games, last year in 6 games. Will this be 5 games? We'll find out. So we have a lot to look forward to. Like I mentioned, Bruins, Leafs tonight. Islanders, Hurricanes tonight. Knights, Stars tonight. Kings, Oilers. And tomorrow you have Washington, New York. Tampa, Florida. Colorado, Winnipeg. Nashville, Vancouver. That's when the next game twos are. For those series, we head over to the NBA, where the NBA playoffs, I know we had the play-in earlier in the week, but the official NBA playoffs tipped off this week, and we had great games all over the place. The Cleveland Cavaliers take game 1 over the Orlando Magic, 97-83. A huge game from Anthony Edwards as the Timberwolves take down Kevin Durant and the Suns, 120-95. The New York Knicks in a heated basketball game, 111-104 over the Philadelphia 76ers. Nothing quite like a New York-Philadelphia series. Game 1 goes the way of the New York Knicks. A big, big game from Jalen Brunson. 22.7 rebounds, 7 assists. Getting a huge, huge, huge help from his Villanova teammate, Josh Hart. 22 points, 13 13 rebounds. Joel Embiid did put up 29 points. Tyrese Maxey, 33 points. Not enough to overcome the New York Knicks. They lead one game to nothing. The LA Lakers and the Denver Nuggets, 114-103 for the defending champions. Nikola Jokic, once again, being unstoppable. 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Jamal Murray came along too, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists. LeBron James played pretty well, 27-6-8. Anthony Davis, 32-14-5. 114-103 Denver. And then yesterday, the Boston Celtics dismantled the Miami Heat in Game 1, albeit Jimmy Butler not healthy to go. 114-94, the Celtics cruise past Miami. 23 points for Jason Tatum, 18 points for Kristaps Porzingis. Derek White with 20. It was a great game if you are a Boston Celtics fan like myself. Bam Adebayo led the way with Miami, 24 points in that one. The LA Clippers, man, did they look good. 109-97 over the Dallas Mavericks. Big performance from James Harden. 28 points, 8 assists. Got to give a quick shout out to Paul George. 22 points. He played great. Man, 109-97. Luka Doncic, 33 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. Kyrie Irving, 31 points. Still not enough. 109-97. Game 2 later on in the week. The Milwaukee Bucks needed a big performance from Damian Lillard, and they got it. He had 35 points without Giannis Antetokounmpo. They get the win over the Indiana Pacers, 109-94. Big game, though, for Pascal Siakam. 36 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. Tyrese Haliburton, not his best night. Only 9 points, 7 assists. Excuse me, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Not his best performance by any means. Game 2 later on in the week. And the last game of the weekend, sorry. The Oklahoma City Thunder narrowly, as the one seed, narrowly get past New Orleans Pelicans, 94-92. Big game from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 28 points. Jalen Williams with 19 points. Chet Holmgren, 15-11. But the real surprise, is where Zion Williamson. Will he be able to play? We will find out later on this week. Obviously, he got injured in that playing game against the Lakers and not play Sacramento the other night. They're hoping and praying he comes back sometime soon because he is a game changer for them. We head to Major League Baseball. Just a quick look at the standings. A big week if you're a Boston Red Sox fan. They swept the Pirates to move to 13-10, 2.5 back of the Yankees, who continue to win ballgames. They're at 15-7. The Orioles, a half a game back at 14-7. The Toronto Blue Jays, very good series for them, taking 2-3 from San Diego. They won 2-3 at home against the New York Yankees. Not to mention they took 2-3 from the Colorado Rockies before that. So the Jays are just winning series and are staying within striking distance, only 3 games back of the Yankees for first in the American League. And they head down to Kansas City, Missouri, for a matchup with the Royals for 4 games. Then they head home to host Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and the Dodgers over the weekend. That should be some great, great, great baseball. So that's the upcoming schedule for the Blue Jays. And the NFL draft, like I mentioned, only 3 short days away. The Bears are on the clock, and we all know it's going to be Caleb Williams, but still, we'll watch the first pick, and then no one knows really after that. No one really knows. So we're going to get into all of this over the next hour of the Tommy John Show. We will talk what the hell happened for the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 1, and can they bounce back tonight for Game 2? We'll do a quick little mock draft at the end, the top 10 picks, or top 12 picks I'll do. A quick little mock draft at the end. And do the Lakers have any chance against Denver? We will get into all of this over the next hour. I am Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Productions Nuit d'Afrique invites you to the gala of the 17th edition of the Silly d'Or de la Musique du Monde. Come out to La Tulipe on Tuesday, April 25th at 8 p.m. for extraordinary performances from the finalists for the awards and vote to help them win the Silly D'Or, the Silly d'Argent, or the Silly de Bronze. Les Silly D'Or de la Musique du Monde Gala is sure to expand your musical horizons. For more information, sillydor.com.
Autobeat.
Yeah.
Best in electronic music.
Let me know when you push that record button. That
Thursday nights, yeah. 7 to 9 on CJLO, on right 1690 now. AM.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Now you know you're the baddest motherfucker, right? I don't care.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. So we'll get into what the hell happened to the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday night. So if you live in Canada, or like all of us listening, maybe there'll be some international listeners, I'm not sure. You're subjected to the Toronto media, and you have to hear about the Leafs 24/7 on TSN. And I understand it's the biggest market. There's probably more Maple Leafs fans than any other fan base in Canada. I don't know. Maybe there are a lot of Canadians. I know there's a ton of Canadians fans here, but in Ontario, there might be some. But having said that, the Leafs are the biggest market in Canada. And from when they get eliminated in April to what, they get maybe 2 weeks off, and then headlines start swirling again before the draft, and then it's Leaf Central again. It will be always about the Toronto Maple Leafs for everyone in Canada. I don't watch every Leafs game, but I know what the hell is going on with the Leafs just because I watch SportsCenter, I listen to TSN Radio, and it's about the Leafs 24/7. And all I heard for the entire year is this team having struggles. Matthews is amazing, but like, trust me, in the playoffs, you're going to have big players show up. Now, I know it's only been one game, but to me, that looked like the exact same Toronto Maple Leafs team in the postseason I've watched for the last 5-6 years. I'm a diehard Bruins fan. We played them in 13. They had a bit more grit in 13. They had guys like Bozak and Lupo who would like to throw the body. They had Dion Phaneuf. And Reimer was a decent goalie. But when we played them in 2018, 2019, then I watched them against Columbus in 2020, watched them against Montreal in 2021, watched them in 2022 lose to Tampa, lost them in 2023 last year when they barely got by Tampa and then got their doors blown off by Florida. And all I thought was, this looks the exact same as every other year I just listed. There's no difference. And I'm not going to write them off because you have superstars in Matthews, Marner, Tavares. Nylander hasn't played yet, which is a big worry for Leafs fans. He might not. It looks like he's not going to play tonight either. But you've brought this same team together how many times now with slight variations, and it's not working. Now, obviously, you're not going to trade Matthews. He had 69 goals this year. He was almost a 70-goal scorer, which is unheard of in this era. And plus, you signed him long-term. Nylander, you just gave him 8 years at 11.5, 11.6. I think you got basically the same deal as Pasternak, or maybe, what, $100,000 less a year. But basically the same deal as Pasternak. And then you have Marner coming up, and then you still got Tavares on contract, and Morgan Riley. And it looks like the exact same Maple Leaf team. The exact same. I mean, that was dreadful. I mean, at the first minute, it's like they tried to impose their will. They hit hard for a minute and a half, trying to lay the body. Then they put Reeves on the ice. Yeah, we'll show them our toughness. And they throw a hit that wasn't smart, led to an on-man rush, and the Bruins scored. And they were not the same after that. They tried to impose their will. Like, we're going to play physical like the Bruins. We're going to take the fight to the bully. And they took the fight to the bully, and they're like, well, now you just left one of our players wide open in Boquist. I'll pass over to Beecher, 1-0 Boston. And then the doors fell off. The Bruins hit three posts after that, and it could have been 3 or 4-0. But the Leafs got away with it 1-0, and then they draw the penalty at the end of the first period to make it a 4-on-3 because it was a 4-on-4. And then I said, oh, boy, I'm a bit worried now because you have a lot of ice for Matthews and Marner. The Bruins killed that penalty, and I could sense the game was over. Literally, I know it was only 1-0. Carlo scores right after that, 2-0. DeBrus scores two more immediately after on the power play, and that was the game. It was 4-0 going to the third. I know the Leafs got one early, but then after that, the Bruins just shut it down, controlled the puck. I found McAvoy was awesome. I literally, as a Bruins fan, I liked every player's game, even Pat Maroon. I know he's slow as hell, and he's old, and he's not the player he once was, but he can lay the body. He made nice plays. I don't think there was a Bruin who had a bad game. Pasternak wasn't great. He was fine. He had a really nice play, the pass to Frederick for the empty netter, and he had some nice passes on the power play. I don't think anyone... And Swayman was fantastic, obviously. He was. He made some big saves early on. He weathered the storm. You knew the Leafs were going to come out firing, which they will tonight. But if the Bruins, I feel like they just got to... It's like the Leafs are going to give a huge push to start the game, and if they just weather that push, they're fine. The Leafs gave it, like, tried to come out and impose their will, and the Bruins scored, what, 2.5 minutes in? Because they tried putting the physical line out there against these fat... I'm telling you, this Boquist guy is quick, and Beecher is quick, and Frederick's quick, and they're big guys. Boquist's not that big. But the Bruins got big players, quick players. They're not household names, but they're big dudes right now in the bottom six. Maroon's old and slow. Okay, we understand that. But if you look down that bottom part of the lineup, I'm missing Brazo. Too bad he's hurt. He was from the same cut from the same cloth. Big guy, 6'3", 6'4", over 220. Not the most skilled player, but they can skate and they can hit. Same, look at Beecher. He's been in the Bruins lineup on and off, on and off. They sent him down to Providence a few weeks ago, brought him up, and that was the best game I ever saw him play in a Bruins jersey. Frederick was great. And if we're being honest, people in Toronto aren't addressing that problem. They're just throwing it all on Samsonov. Oh, can we get a timely save? Why don't you help him out a bit? Where was Matthews? Where was he? Marner, I found, played decent. I mean, those guys are held to a different standard. If Matthews was like a bottom six forward and he played like that, like, oh, Matthews played a good game. He had some moments of, but Matthews is one of the five best players in the world, three best players in the world right now. If you say, like, who'd you take on your team? You know, McDavid, McKinnon, Kucherov, Matthews is in that conversation right now. He scored 69 goals this year, and I didn't see him tonight. And will he be a factor in the series? I think so. But I have no evidence to say he will be. And listen, I'm really worried for Toronto. Oh, I'm a Bruins fan, so I'm fine. But I'm worried that if they don't switch something, they might be in deep trouble. Deep trouble. And yes, I know Nylander's a big loss for them, but they got to put up more of a fight. They really do. But now my hope is that the Bruins keep their foot on the gas and they'll get complacent. That's my worry. Because we saw that last year with Florida, the first four games, they were kicking the crap out of them. And then they kind of just coasted and they got bit, which can happen. But for me, what are the Leafs doing? Really, honestly, he looks lost back there. Sheldon Keith, he has no idea what's going on. And then when the reporters ask him about Nylander, he's like, oh, well, you'll see. I don't know. It's really worrying time if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Really worrying time. And I know it's only game one, and game ones don't mean anything, and the Leafs lost game one last year, won the series, and the Bruins won game one in their series last year and lost. I understand that. But I'm saying if the Leafs want a chance in this series, they got to do something. They really, really got to do something. Here was Jim Montgomery following the Bruins win last year. Two nights ago, and he addressed what to expect from Jeremy Swayman, and Linus Ullmark, because apparently the Bruins are going to rotate goalies in this series. Here was head coach Jim Montgomery.
Coach, what went into the decision to start Swayman tonight, and are you tempted to go back to him after what you saw?
We were just, you know, felt that, you know, Swayman hadn't had the opportunity to start a series before in the last couple of years, and we want to see him start a series, see how we'd handle it, and he did really well. To answer the second part of the question, I haven't thought that far ahead.
Chris? Hey, Coach, what stood out to you the most in terms of the things that led to the success you had tonight? What did you like about what you did well?
I really liked our team discipline. I liked our execution. I liked the emotion we played with. And I thought, you know, the physicality of our group was very evident.
Dupes?
Jim, to that point, Maroon gets an assist on the first goal there. Then he follows up later in the period, puts the guy into your bench. What's your thought when that guy comes over the bench, and what's the effect on the team?
Well, it's a lot of emotion that comes our way, especially because the crowd gets into it. The play he makes, I mean, that's what he's good at, you know, is making subtle plays that build the team game. And what he's really good at is on the bench, what we've noticed is a lot like Nick Foligno, a lot of positive talk, a lot of reinforcement of what the game plan is, but he really grabs his line mates, you know, Boakvist and Beecher, and really positive reinforcement about what they're going to do the next shift, not what just happened.
Matt?
How did killing that penalty to start the second period, it seemed like that gave you guys momentum going forward after that?
It did. I thought, you know, Swayman had a couple of great saves, but the effort by the guys on the ice, and then we were able to go the other way, get some power plays, and, you know, the second goal was huge.
Bridget? What'd you think of Jake DeBrusk tonight in the power play?
I thought Jake was terrific. I thought, you know, the majority of the game, I would say that everybody was really executed it the way we want. It was a real good team effort, and that's why I felt we could go wave after wave like we did, all 6D in the four lines. Jake was really good. I mean, that's third goal, that shot, that's you know, that's a goal scorer's goal. And then, you know, just it's nice to see him get rewarded for a lot of the hard work he's done all year.
Chris, a lot of times teams will talk about, it's not how many saves a goalie makes, it's kind of when they make the saves. And Sway, early in the game, when things were a little discombobulated, first 2 minutes, what did you think there? And also, you know, the times he bailed you out and made big saves.
I thought his athleticism allowed him to make some really good kind of bouncing puck rebound saves. Made a couple of point blank saves early in the first. And then I thought we got to our game, so it was really important he made those saves, because I thought, you know, it finished 1-0, but I think we hit a crossbar and a post there in the first.
Jim,
Johnny Beecher had a pit stop in Providence this week. How do you like the way he responded to that and came out tonight?
I thought Beecher was really good. I think that's the best game he's ever played as a Bruin, you know? And the challenge, not only for him, but for our entire group, is can we do it again? You know, it's nice that we got game one, but we know Toronto's a really good hockey club, and we know it's going to be a hard series, so we got to get ready for game two.
So that was Bruins coach Jim Montgomery talking about game one, 5-1 in favor of the Bruins. And now we're joined on the phone lines by some Toronto Maple Leafs fans. Nick, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. As you know what, it's kind of fun. Usually we have Montreal Canadiens fans on here, and we do a little Bruins Leafs thing.
No.
A Bruins Habs thing. So having a Leafs fan on is pretty fun. So what did you think of game one from your perspective as a Leafs fan?
That was just, it was honestly, you know, when we saw the Bruins score that first goal, I kind of had that sinking feeling in my stomach where I kind of knew it was over for that game. You know, the Leafs, they're really not good at, like, not great at coming back in one game after after losing so many goals. But, you know, you never know with what happened last year in the first round, where they kind of lost pretty bad to the Lightning and then came back to win the series. I'm a bit hopeful.
Yeah, but I agree. Like I just said earlier, like, did I love what I saw from the Bruins in game one? Yeah, but I loved what I saw in game one last year against Florida. Then they didn't. They were up 3-1 against Florida and then crumbled.
Yeah.
Where the Leafs were, like you said, laid an egg in game one last year and came back and won the series. But I think, like you were asking, I do, you when we were talking earlier, Matthews not scoring 70.
Yeah.
It was a huge, the whole lead up, I felt like, on TSN Radio, another thing is when's Matthews, which game is Matthews going to get his 70th goal?
Yeah.
He ended up didn't getting it. He was looking for it. Do you think that's holding something over Matthews' head? He's not really, saying it's the playoffs, obviously you're into it, but he's thinking, damn, I should have 70 goals this year.
Well, I think it is holding something over his head. You know, I saw his parents showed up to the last game of the regular season. You know, I think everybody, you know, Keith played him, even though it was kind of the game right before playoffs was supposed to start. You know, maybe he could have been resting, but, you know, he played, and I think everybody was expecting him to hit 70, and he just couldn't do it. And, you know, then I'm not going to say it's connected, but, you know, in game one, he had, like, maybe, like, two or three great chances, and he hit the post on pretty much an open net. So maybe that's playing into his kind of psyche a bit.
I agree. I think that's a huge, huge thing. And if you look at what happened with McDavid and Edmonton and Tampa and Kucherov, they're looking for 100 assists, and they got it. So you got to think, oh, they're going to play with some mojo now, knowing, hey, I just had 100 assists in the regular season. Matthews only scoring 69 goals. You know, if any other player scores 69 goals, they're walking in, I scored 69 goals this year, I'm going to rip the puck home in the playoffs. But he seemed to be going through the motions a bit. But I have a main question about Samsonov. I feel like everyone's throwing him under the bus a bit. It's not like there's a Dominic Hasek waiting as the backup. Joseph Woll hasn't been that much better either going into the postseason. So do you think they'll stick with Samsonov even if he doesn't play too well tonight? Is this his net for the remainder of the series?
I mean, I can't make a call on the goalie because, to me, the problem is really the defense,
mm-hmm.
the Leafs. I think Samsonov is a great goalie. I think Woll can prove himself just like he did last year in the playoffs. But, I mean, I think the defense is really the problem for the Leafs.
Yeah, I agree. There was a bunch of chances where the Bruins were just on, like, that first goal. Where was everybody?
Yeah, Reeves really dropped the ball on that one, and he's the kind of key defenseman, and he dropped the ball on that. That kind of set the tone for the rest of the game.
So what do you expect tonight? Do you think the Leafs are going to come out firing, or what do you expect from Toronto?
Well, I do expect them to come out firing. I think in the first game we saw, they were really kind of playing more physical than I've ever seen them play before. And I think they're going to come out firing again. It's just, are they going to get that little piece of luck to get that first goal in? And that'll be the momentum to get them to win game two.
Now, you might know this better than me as a Leafs fan. Do you know what the hell's going on with William Nylander? Where is he? Why isn't he playing? Is there a report what happened?
I don't think it was an injury. I mean, it could just be, you know, might be something going on in his personal life. Yeah, I don't know.
But he's a huge addition to the club, though.
A huge, huge loss to the squad, I would say.
So who do you want from the Leafs to show up tonight? Obviously, Matthews would be an obvious answer, Mitch Marner. But is there someone you're looking for to say, okay, we need you to step up here?
This is what I want to step up, okay? I'm going optimistic. I want Matthews to score a hat trick just to put it in the bag. Okay?
Yeah.
I want Revo to step out there, and I want him to just clock Marchand and, you know, give a little gun show after like he does, kissing his muscles.
Yep.
And I want Samsonov to get a shutout. I think that'd be amazing. I'm putting my hopes high, but you know, that's what I want from game two.
Now, the last thing before we let you go, and I appreciate you joining the show today. Looking from, I'm a Bruins fan, looking at the Leafs from a Bruins perspective. When you look at the Bruins from a Leafs perspective, what are you trying to limit from the Bruins? Is there anything you want to stop? I mean, I like Pastrnak. I know he's a 110-point guy. I didn't think he played that well last game.
Well, to be honest, here's the thing. I know the Bruins are a good team, and I think it's fair for me to say that regardless of how they've fared in the regular season, I know the Leafs lost the Bruins every time. I'd say they're still an evenly matched team skills-wise. And I think the onus is more on the Leafs to kind of not let the Bruins' excellent offense, obviously, get past the defense. I think Marchand is a problem because, you know, he's a little bit mouthy. He's a great player, but I think he could get into our heads a little bit. So we need Reeves to deal with him. And, yeah, I mean, I really think it's kind of an even matchup, but the Leafs need to get their stuff together.
Well, if you look at the rosters top to bottom, on paper you would think, oh, the Leafs have a much better roster. You're looking at the players on it if you're building an all-star team. But it just seems like even the Bruins coming into the playoffs, I wasn't that hopeful. But if you kind of look at the roster, it's a lot of guys who are perfect kind of playoff players, where it's like a Geeky, a Beecher, a Trent Frederick. They're just these big guys who love to hit.
Yeah.
And that seems to do well in the playoffs. And my worry is that they try and do this whole overthink, rotate the goalies in the postseason because they have two all-star caliber goalies. Yeah. And the word on the street is that Allmark might play. Would you rather see Allmark in the net for the Bruins or Jeremy Swayman, who went 4-0?
As a Leafs fan, I would want them to switch up the goalies a bit, you know, because I don't want somebody in there regular who's going to kind of win a bunch of games and kind of get that in his head. You know, I want maybe a little bit of fresh set of legs for Matthews to play around a bit with, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was really impressed with you guys in the first 10 minutes were all over them. And then Swayman made huge saves.
Yeah.
So I know Jim Montgomery went in saying, I'm going to rotate the goalies. I'm going to do all. After that performance, 35 saves on 36 shots. I don't know how you don't go back to him. But one thing tonight, what's your prediction for tonight's game? I know you wanted Matthews to get a hat trick, Samsonov shout out. What's your gut telling you for tonight, for game two?
I'm calling 4-3 Leafs in regular time.
Okay, nice. I like that. I want a good series. I really do.
Yeah.
When you get two original six teams, two rivals like the Leafs and the Bruins, you want a good, long, drawn-out series. And I think we'll get it. I think the Leafs respond tonight as well. And it's just if the pucks bounce the right way. So I appreciate you calling in. Good luck tonight. And maybe we can get you on next week if this series is still going on.
Great. Thanks for having me on the show, Tom.
Of course. Take it easy and good luck to your Leafs.
Goodbye.
So that was our now new Toronto Leafs correspondent, I guess, Nick, from big Leafs fan. And yeah, they seem, you know what? I'll give them credit. They saw the same things that I did, pretty much. They saw a team that came out saying, I want to be physical. We want to play hockey and take it to the Bruins because we're known as the team that gets pushed over. We're going to take it to the big bad Bruins. And they tried to do it, and they got caught, and then they went away from the game plan because they're playing catch-up immediately. If I'm Sheldon Keefe, even if that happens again, you got to stick to that formula because that is a proven playoff formula. You grind and battle for pucks, hit, do everything to get an advantage. And the Leafs did that for 2.5 minutes. Then Beecher scores the goal, and they tried to do it again, and then the Bruins were countering them and hitting posts, and they went away from it. And then once they thought they had their break on the 4-on-3 to start the second period, it wasn't the same. Just wasn't the same. I cannot wait for game two tonight. It's going to be great. You know, the Garden's going to be rocking because, honestly, Bruins fans like me were a bit nervous coming in. We lose to Ottawa. We lose to Washington going into the regular season. We lose the Atlantic title to Florida. Okay, you get the Leafs in the first round, but if we somehow get past them, we don't have home ice, and we're getting all nervous. They played Bruins-style hockey tonight, and people are going to look at the shots and think they're outplayed. In that third period, Camp scored the early goal in the third. The Bruins controlled that period. They were just passing the puck with their D, and it was a beautiful Bruins performance. And like I said, now the question is it Jeremy Swayman or Linus Ullmark for game two tonight? We have no idea. We have no idea. I did like the pick of going to Swayman. I didn't understand starting Ullmark anyway. Ullmark started game one last year, and he started the series before that last year, and it didn't go well for him. Give Swayman a chance as the goalie to start. And if he doesn't play well, okay, put in Ullmark. But he was brilliant two nights ago. And, yeah, I cannot wait for tonight. We're getting into a quick ad and then a little NFL mock draft and the close of the show, a little recap of what Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets did to LeBron and the Lakers. This is the Tommy John Show here on CJLO 1690. Back after these quick words from our sponsors. Do not go away.
Jamaica Association of Montreal and Indie Roots Records have come together to bring you Woomban, an all-female artist showcase to bring ovarian cancer awareness to the community and to raise money for Ovarian Cancer Canada. On Friday, May 17th, 8 p.m. at the Jamaica Association of Montreal at 4065 Jean Talon West, Metro Namur. It's a free event, just donate. All funds going to Ovarian Cancer of Canada. For more info, 514-792-4775. This ad is sponsored by CJLO 1690.
This just in.
REVC is no longer on Thursdays. It's Mondays at noon.
Mondays at noon.
Music so good, you'll exterminate.
Some Chicago for you to honor the Bears, who are on the clock with the first overall pick, and it's over. It's Caleb Williams, University of Southern California. He's going number one to Chicago. Man, I can't believe it. We, you know, the Super Bowl ended 2 months ago, basically, and this is how much the NFL controls the airwaves and the media. It's been mock draft since February, maybe even earlier. Since we learned the draft order in early January, there's been just hundreds of mock drafts. I don't know what mock draft variation ESPN's on, like 20.0. And then every morning, you know the NBA and NHL playoffs are on. You couldn't tell them. It's all Adam Schefter saying what he's hearing out of Washington, what he's hearing out of New England, Minnesota. That's what it's about. The NFL draft, and it's almost here. The NFL draft has more viewers than the Oscars, which was posted. That's how big the NFL is. It's by far and away the most popular sport, so much so the draft's doing, double the numbers of the NBA playoffs. Insane. So we're going to do a little bit of a mock draft here. A quick little brief mock draft. I'm not going to do the whole first round because that would be crazy, and I'm not going to get it right because I don't know what teams, you know, you have the little weird trades, trade up, trade down. We're just going to do the top 12 picks, 10 or 12, we'll see for time. I mean, we will start off with obviously the Chicago Bears at number one and then work our way down, and I have hypothetical trades as well. So here we go, and Tommy John Show mock draft. Let's get into it. So the Chicago Bears are on the clock. And with the first pick, they will take Caleb Williams, USC. Great. Thanks. Thanks for coming. And obviously the easiest pick of the draft done. Okay. And honestly, if you look at situations for number one picks to go to, you look at what Bryce Young had to go to last year. You look at what Trevor Lawrence had to do that first year in Jacksonville. I mean, Cincinnati for Burrow's rookie year, they go to terrible situations. The Bears are not the worst team in the league. Far from it. They are a 7-win team that just fleeced Carolina last year. That's why they have this pick. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen, the offensive line sick, Darnell Wright, Braxton Jones, you name it. Added DeAndre Swift. And then they have the 9th pick as well. Will they go after Rome Odunze? Will they go after Brock Bowers? Who knows? But this is a loaded team up front. They add Caleb Williams, the 2022 Heisman Trophy winner, who's been the number one pick for 2 years now. He goes to Chicago. Number two, and I know there's been smoke screens saying his agent doesn't want him to play there. Washington's taking Jaden Daniels. You look at Cliff Kingsbury, what he wants is in a quarterback. He wants a player like Caleb Williams, like Pat Mahomes, that kind of style. Jaden Daniels is the closest to that. He's got game-breaking ability. He's got a very good arm. Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, list goes on and on. I know he had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, I think his name is Junior. Okay. He was still sensational. He is a bit lanky for his size. I know he's tall, like 6'3", 6'4", but he has to grow into that body, which he will do. If he stays protected, if they protect him in Washington, I think that's a slam dunk pick at number two. This happens all the time. All the time. You have teams saying, oh, doesn't want to go there. I don't know. Is he going to go there? I don't know. I don't think my player wants to. And then they ultimately go there, and it's fine. That was initially with Caleb Williams, too. Remember, he didn't want to go to Chicago? Give me a break. Jaden Daniels is going to Washington. Now, this is, to me, where the draft starts. This is where the draft starts. My New England Patriots at three. Now, of course, they want a quarterback because now they only have Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe. But what quarterback are they going to get? Are they going to trade back into the first round, get a ton of picks, and then get a Bo Nix, Michael Penix kind of a quarterback? What do you do? Me, personally, what I think they're going to do, I think they're going to stay at three and pick Drake May. That's what they're going to do. He's huge. He's 6'5". He's going to grow into that frame. He's not going to play right away, nor would I play him right away. Even if Drake May is what C.J. Stroud was this year, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. The team's not good enough. So what we're going to do, we're going to sit him. Jacoby Brissett's a veteran. He's been in a lot of situations. He will help teach this guy. And then maybe next year, possibly 2 years from now, is Drake May's football team. The Patriots should be playing the long game. They want a quarterback that will last them 10 years or so. Drake May, I mean, physically, he meets all the requirements. He throws a beautiful deep ball as well. I say you take him. I don't think J.J. McCarthy will be there. Or excuse me, I don't think J.J. McCarthy will be the pick. That's just smoke screens to me. You can't put them next to each other and say who you think will be a more dominant quarterback in the NFL. It's obviously Drake May. If you look at talent and ceiling, it's Drake May all the way. And the Patriots have to go that route. J.J. McCarthy would not excel right now in this team. It's just not good enough. Drake May, you build the team around him. Let him sit and watch behind Jacoby Brissett. That's the pick for me. Number four to me, this is interesting. I could see Arizona trading out of the pick. I could see them staying there. In this mock draft, I think they stay there because the owner loves the kid. They're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. They need a number one receiver for Kyler Murray, and you have the highest, graded wide receiver prospect in a long time. His dad is one of the great receivers of all time, Hall of Famer, Marvin Harrison. Just Marvin Harrison. That's the pick. Arizona goes Marvin Harrison. And then to me, this is a pretty easy one, too. I know they trade away Keenan Allen, trade away Mike Williams. The Chargers are going to take Joe Alt from Notre Dame. They're going to take Joe Alt from Notre Dame. You know why? What did Jim Harbaugh do at Michigan to turn the program around? He built up the trenches. Build a beef offensive line, a beefy, big Midwest offensive line. Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater on that O-line. My God. And if you've learned anything from the Chiefs this year, you don't need star receivers to win Super Bowls. I know Justin Herbert's not Patrick Mahomes, but what the Chiefs have, they had a good O-line. What is the recipe for success in the NFL? Keeping your quarterback upright. What did Michigan do better than any school in college football last year? Protect the quarterback. He's going to build in the trenches. Maybe take a running back in the second round. Blake Corum possibly, reunite him with Jim Harbaugh. Joe Alt's the pick. Number six, this is very interesting. To me, the Giants are going to go Malik Nabers. I'm not buying the J.J. McCarthy being – that's not what – now, if they were to trade up to Drake May, that seems more like a Brian Daboll thing. Worked with Josh Allen, likes big, tall quarterbacks. If they give up the farm for the Patriots and the Patriots only have to go down to six, possibly. But to me, this is – they need a receiver. They need a receiver to go with Hyatt, to go with other players. You got to take Malik Nabers. He's a game-breaking ability. He'd be the number one receiver in – most years. It's just he's in the Marvin Harrison year. You take him at six and you run. Number seven, the Tennessee Titans. And to me, this is where we can get a trade. I know that they want a receiver. They could get Roma Dunze, but they need to fill in a lot of holes. And it's a very deep receiver draft. I have the Tennessee Titans trading out with Minnesota. And Minnesota will take J.J. McCarthy. I'm not as high as J.J. McCarthy as everyone else is, but to me, this makes more sense than the Patriots taking J.J. McCarthy or the Giants taking J.J. McCarthy or even Washington taking J.J. McCarthy. Minnesota taking him, you have Sam Darnold. You can let him sit behind Sam Darnold, who's a good guy, good, not great, but a decent quarterback, can play the role very nicely, can teach him a few things, let him sit for like six or so games, and then you can put McCarthy in there. This seems like more of a realistic possibility. And you know what that means? The Titans just move down a bit in the draft and can get a receiver and other impact players. They need players right now to help Will Levis get two of them. They also signed Calvin Ridley as well. People forget. And they also have DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't think receiver is a huge need for them. They could stay there and take the tackle from Penn State. But if they can get two first rounders this year and a later pick, we'll see. We will see. You go to number eight and you got the Atlanta Falcons. To me, you got to pick the best defensive player on the board. You take Dallas Turner and you run. That doesn't seem like that big of a stretch. You look at the offense. What more do you have? Drake London. You have Bijan Robinson. You got a great O-line. You got Kyle Pitts. Sure, you can take Roma Dunze, but I don't know why you do that. To me, you help that defense, and you take the best defensive player in the draft. Dallas Turner goes to Atlanta. Now we go to the Bears at nine. And this is really interesting. To me, there's two answers here. That defense played really, really, really well at the end of last year. Do you want to improve it, or do you just give Caleb Williams an abundance of riches? Because right now, you still got Roma Dunze sitting there, and you got Brock Bauer sitting there. And I thought about it long and hard, but I think, what I would do, I would probably take Bowers, Midwest, tight end. I know you have Cole Kmet, but you can run a two tight end set, be lethal. For some reason, my guts tell me to go with Dunze because they don't know how old Keenan Allen, like how much he's got left in the tank. If you have a wide receiver core of DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and Keenan Allen with Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift, I think they take a Dunze. Or they could trade out. Again, you might have teams like Denver looking to trade in. You might have teams that we don't even know about. Seattle. You might have other teams that we didn't even think of who likes a quarterback. The Raiders. The Saints. You might have a team that we don't even think of that wants to trade up to nine. I think the Bears would field calls there, just accumulate more picks. If they stay where they are, I think they'll take a Dunze. Even though maybe I'd go two tight end set with Bowers. I think Bowers is... I think the only players that cannot miss in this draft are Bowers and Joe Alt. Marvin Harrison, yeah, I mean, he's pretty close, but he'll be good. I will put my life on the line saying Joe Alt and Brock Bowers will be like all-pro caliber players. Now, obviously, there's going to be other ones in this draft, but I'm saying we'll be slam dunk. Those are two guys. That's why I like Brock Bowers. But I think they'll go with Dunze. And that leaves the New York Jets, and a report came earlier this week that, hey, it's Aaron Rodgers' team. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's deciding everything. So to me, what I would do, I would take the offensive lineman from Penn State. That's what I would do. I think he, or you take the offensive tackle from Oregon State, Fuaga, I can't say his name, and then Fashanu from Penn State. These two guys are insane. If I were the Jets, I don't care what Aaron says. I know you like having a tight end, but you're 40 years old and you lasted four snaps last year. So I would take one of the tackles either from Oregon State or Penn State and protect him. But I think they might like Brock Bowers. So I'll go Brock Bowers to the Jets, even though I think they should take the tackle. Now, fun. You get to Tennessee at 11. Look at this. That's why I like this trade from Tennessee. People think they have to stay where they are. If your team like Tennessee and you're at 7, you can get an additional pick. You can get more picks to move back because Tennessee need a lot of players. And they like the Will. They like what they saw from Will Levis. Okay, what are they going to do at 11? To me, you can go defense. You can go anywhere. The best player on the board, to me, is probably one of the tackles. So it's pick your poison. I'll take the one from Penn State. There you go. They liked Joe Alt as well. Take the kid from Penn State at 11. There you go. In this mock, I have I have the two Minnesota picks to move up to 7. So they will also be picking later on, but we're only doing the top 12 or so. So now you get to the Denver Broncos. Interesting. McCarthy's gone. May's gone. Daniels is gone. Obviously, Caleb Williams is gone. Do they take a quarterback? Does Sean Payton say, I like this guy? Now, to me, the best quarterback on the table is Michael Penix. Will Sean Payton do that? I don't know. He also had a defense that allowed 70 points in a game last year. I know it got better, but he is an offensive coach. There's good receivers on the board. You lost Jerry Jeudy. What do you do? I could see them trading. But to me, to make it fun, I think he's more of a Bo Nix kind of a guy. And the Raiders have 13. That'd be fun if you get 5 quarterbacks taken in the top 13. Which I don't think will be happening, but let's have fun. Let's say Bo Nix goes 12, Michael Penix goes 13. I would take Penix over Nix all day. They played twice head-to-head when Oregon played Washington, and Penix outplayed them both times. To me, I would have Michael Penix. I have him above J.J. McCarthy. If you watch this guy throw a football, the scouts, what I'm hearing is the scouts don't love Penix because of his injuries, and the coaches love him because they see him on the field throw a deep ball, and they just freak out. I wouldn't be mad if the Patriots traded down from to 11 and then they ended up with Penix and like two other first round picks. I wouldn't be mad at that either. But for the sake, let's have fun. Denver goes Bo Nix. It's more the Sean Payton style. And the Raiders go Michael Penix Jr. So we have 13 picks. Then at 14, you have New Orleans. They can go anywhere. To me, they'll go best player available. They'll take the tackle from Oregon State. And I'll end with the Indianapolis Colts. Now you get to pick the best receiver available. That's all they do. So that is down to whoever. Where do you like Adonai Mitchell, Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman? The best receiver available will go to Indianapolis. I think Brian Thomas Jr., LSU. Do that. Don't mess it up. Add him to Pittman. You just gave him the contract. You have Downs. You have Alex Pierce. Give them another receiver for Anthony Richardson. I am going Brian Thomas Jr. That's our top 15 mock draft. And we did it just in time. We have a minute left in the show. So I want to thank you guys for listening. We had a fun show today. Enjoy the games tonight. Bruins, Leafs, 7 o'clock Eastern time. That's what I'll be watching. Also be flicking back with the basketball as well. And also the other playoffs games tonight. You have Edmonton in a big series with LA that starts tonight. You have Vegas starting their cup defense tonight. Mark Stone good to go. And I just got a report that Zach Wilson got traded to Denver for a late round pick. That's the last piece of news I'll leave you with today. Have a good week, and we will speak to you next time on the Tommy John Show. Have a good week, everyone.
Hi, this is Ryan.